Have you seen the old man in the closed down market, kicking up the paper with his worn-out shoes? In his eyes you see no pride. And
this started as simply a place to store produce for a lot of the food producers operating in London. There were some people like Monmouth Coffee who were roasting using some of the units, but it kind of developed from there into a bit of a sort of spontaneous market where they would open their doors on a Saturday to the public. And so it just gained in popularity more and more because of the quality that was here and I suppose these unusual contexts as well. And since then it's developed, and there's Maltby Street Rope Walk, Druid Street Market. You've got a lot of really, really interesting and high quality food producers and food operators and a really interesting scene.
Under the railway arches of Bermondsey, London, an area rich in history when it comes to food production and wholesaling, you'll find Spa Terminus. There are food producers like Little Bread Peddler, Mond's Cheese and the London Honey Company, as well as The Butchery. On a recent visit to London, exploring the street food scene with Fabio from Eat the World DXB, I wanted to learn more about the traditional and contemporary food scene. I visited The Butchery with Dan from The Rotary. That's one of the trucks coming to the festival here in February. Fabio explains more about the heritage, the history, and what happens in this part of the East End of London.
Most of them are wholesale operators. So you have Natura, who are a very high-end fruit and veg supplier, and Ham and Cheese Company, who only really supply to trade, to restaurants. But really nice that on a Saturday, as a consumer, as a punter, you can come and buy some of these products directly from them.
And it's really brought this area alive. We can hear the trains going over the arches, but as a community.
It absolutely has, and food is at the heart of it. It's become very much a really important part of the development and the identity of the place. I mean, Bermondsey now, you've got Borough Market down the road, and you've got all the other markets, Rope Walk and Druid Street and Spa Terminus. It's a really, really strong food destination now, and so a great example of the power of food as well.
Fabio Du and Philip Lowry bought Eat the World DXB to our shores 3 years ago, but their story with the London food scene began years before with real food festivals and markets and their first annual event happening at Earl's Court back in 2008.
Eat the World was our first street food brand in a sense. We've been running lots of different food festivals in a regular market. Originally in Earl's Court Exhibition Centre as an annual event, and then we launched a market at Southbank Centre, and while we were running the market there, we saw the street food movement and scene in London start developing. And the Royal Wedding was our first street food festival, and I think we were probably the biggest collection of street food traders in one place, the biggest street food festival that ever happened in London. And so we started to run these regular street food events. So we had probably about 35 street food traders, which at the time wasn't, you know, not all of them, obviously, but it was certainly the majority of the, at least the good creative quality end of the street food scene. So it was a really exciting time, actually, really exciting. A lot of Asian street foods. There was a guy who'd been teaching in Korea, and he came back to the UK and wanted to bring some of that food culture that he'd come into contact with and loved. He wanted to bring some of those flavours and some of that food to London. And so there's a real diversity of different international cuisines on offer, and I think that's really a big part of what characterises the street food movement, you know, the diversity of different cuisines.
And that reflects London, doesn't it? And Britain.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. London is an incredibly multicultural city. It's also a reflection of the globalised world that we live in. You know, we travel a lot more now. Of course, we're in contact with lots of different cultures and different food cultures, and that's inspiring lots of individuals to come and either bring some of their own heritage and explore that and start food businesses based on that, or just through their travels, what they've experienced.
You can feel it within the boroughs of London. You know, I used to live here, and I know we're going to be going to Brixton, so Caribbean, West Indian food, and then there's a big Italian community there, or Portuguese community. Got Brick Lane, which, you know, has risen up over the last sort of 30 years of you know, your Bangladeshi foods, and it's like lots of villages almost, communities all brought together under this big city. And within that, of course, has always been traditionally markets.
And markets in London, like across the UK, were dying a little bit. You know, the death of the high street and independent traders, you know, supermarkets coming in. And up until recently, it was looking quite dire, actually. And markets are really important public spaces where sort of communities are built. And I think the same movement which led people to care about and be more interested in food, I think also was the same movement which reignited people's interest in markets, because it's the connections that we have to where our food comes from. It's the personal interaction with the people who make the food, which we were missing. That gained momentum, and together with the street food movement, markets started to be revived. Old historic markets started to revive, but also new markets started to be launched as well. So now there are an incredible number of markets in London, and it's a really exciting time, actually. They're really important because of the communities they make and bring together, but also they provide opportunities for small independent startups to, you know, get out there.
I grew up in the countryside, you know, farming community, and farmers produced the food, took it to market, people bought the food. It's almost like we're going back to what was always the way. That's what we're yearning for, to get back to that. The first morning I was here, I was up with jet lag, so I was near Smithfield's Market, so I went and had a jog and went down there, and great to see, because I always like that sort of waking of a city, and obviously early morning, what's going to be open? The market will be open, and it's the meat market. But you were telling me that that's the last remaining market, meat market, inside of London, which again is interesting, because if we want to go right back in history, that part of London, you know, Charterhouse, Clerkenwell, all around there was sort of the trade avenue through, wasn't it, for food markets?
Yeah, I mean, we used to live side by side, food, you know, in as much as, you know, food was traded, food, you know, livestock was brought alive into the city and slaughtered and traded within the community, within living spaces. And so although people lived in urban spaces, they still had that connection with the countryside. And I think it's not so much that we're going backwards, but we're just realising what we've lost, which is that connection. So I think that's why markets are so popular, because they give that back. They give that connection to the producers and where our food comes from.
So what was before and what is new?
Well, obviously street food's always existed. You know, street food's always existed. And I suppose, you know, it's always really served to cater for maybe the poorer community who maybe didn't have kitchens, you know, historically. And also travellers or labourers and just hungry passers-by. And it's always featured regional cuisines. But I think the thing about street food is also that because of its nature, trading on the street, resources, space, equipment is quite limited, and so you can't have a large menu, you can't have and offer lots of different dishes. And so typically street food vendors sort of focus, specialize on one dish. And so what that does is it creates a you kind of go deep almost into one thing and develop it, and you really get to the heart of what that dish is, bring out the very essence of it, you know, because of that sort of specialization. And so in many ways, street food is, you know, that's what I think makes street food some of the best food that you can try, as the best example of a regional, national cuisine. To answer your question about what differentiates traditional street food to the contemporary movement, it kind of comes down to, I suppose, who and what they're cooking. And the who is it's young professional chefs or passionate home cooks. And talking about globalization, I think that's a big part of this. You know, people having traveled and, you know, immigration, and so the influences that people have come into contact with, recreating that. Obviously, street food has a sort of low barrier to entry. And so you get these young, passionate chefs taking influences they found around the world and without rules. They're not sort of bound by the same cultural context, and so they can be inventive with it, and they can be creative. They can recontextualize it and play with different flavors in different ways. And so I think that's what really characterizes the street food movement, the contemporary street movement. And that's what we call it Eat the World, really, because you can try foods from all over the world, and not just traditional street foods from around the world, but also new reimagined street foods, which are just, you know, creative reworkings of different influences which have been brought together.
More from Fabio when we come back, as we learn more about the street food scene coming out of London. And we can get a taste and flavour of that food when Eat the World DXB comes to the UAE, located beside the Burj Khalifa, at the end of February.
How can you tell me you're lonely and say for you that the sun don't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London.
Eat the World DXB is running from the 23rd to the 25th of February, bringing food trucks from London and afar. As part of the Dubai Food Festival, we get to taste some great dishes like jerk chicken, authentic Neapolitan pizza, ethically sourced steaks and venison, and the best grilled cheese sandwiches this side of the Thames. Fabulous Spanish and Basque tapas, and that's just a taster of what's to come. The trucks were loaded this week onto the Dream Boat, and they're officially on their way. Check out the pictures and videos on the special features page at dubaieye1038.com/Dubai Today, and you can learn more about the cooks, the ingredients, and the street food journey. So back to London and talking to Fabio about markets in London and what to expect with Eat the World DXB this February.
At the moment, we have one regular weekly market at King's Cross outside the station, and that's very much a produce market, or a deli market as we like to call it. It features some of the best artisan producers who are operating in London. So we have Bread Ahead, for example, a wonderful artisan baker who do these very, very famous donuts, beautifully, generously filled donuts. Cannon and Cannon, who specialise in British charcuterie, so different meats from the British Isles, cured in sort of continental styles, but using British meat, and here in the UK, some fish cured, smoked fish producers as well, and cheesemongers, and local honey, London urban honey. We try and create, because it's by the station, we try and create a really convenient market. So food which people can stop by and grab for their dinner or the weekend. And
so when you're looking to 2017, Eat the World, the British food trucks, as we've been finding out this week, are getting ready. They're going to be on their way. But it's not going to be just the British trucks this year. Tell me about the other trucks coming in.
No, well, we're really excited because obviously, talking about the contemporary street food movement, really, it began in the US. In LA originally, and then it moved and spread to New York before becoming a global movement. So really, really exciting to showcase the original street food traders who started this whole revolution. So we're working with La Cocina in San Francisco and a few other regional partners in New York and Washington, and trying to bring together a lineup which really reflects the character and diversity of the US street food scene. On the opposite end of that, we're really excited to be bringing some Singaporean traders who are more of the sort of Asian traditional street food culture. Very, very strong, famously strong street food culture in Singapore, and I think this year they got awarded for the first time ever, there were two Michelin stars awarded to street food traders, which is unprecedented. So obviously that gives you an indication of the quality of street food in Singapore. And so to bring that into the mix as well is just amazing. I think, you know, this is a world's first, actually, to bring together UK, US and Singaporean traders, obviously not forgetting the UAE guys as well. It, really exciting street food extravaganza. Since we've been out in the UAE over the last couple of years, we've seen the street food movement really grow and develop. I mean, every year it just grows incredibly fast, and there are some really exciting, interesting concepts which have been developed, and so we really want to showcase that through the festival as well. I mean, we're in Dubai, you know, we're in the UAE, and so we want to create a platform to promote what's going on and hopefully develop it as well, give it the opportunity to grow.
You're obviously really passionate about this. You love the work that you do, but it's not just business to you. You know, you have a genuine interest and love of food. You know food. You studied it as well, didn't you?
I did, yeah. And I did a master's in the gastronomic sciences, actually, which sounds a very sort of grand title, but absolutely. I mean, I think food is one of the most important things. I mean, it's a daily pleasure. But also the way we eat, our food choices, the way food is produced and consumed, it shapes the world around us. So it's incredibly important. I think it's so close to us that we often don't really see the impact of how we eat on our health, the environment and society at large. And so yeah, it's something which I obviously care about, and I think more people, everyone should care about, actually.
What makes you sad when it comes to food?
What makes me sad is the way food is mostly produced now. I mean, you know, the industrial food production, industrialization of our food production is tragic, because we are completely ravaging the natural environment. We're making a lot of people actually poorer and making them ill, and ourselves ill by the food that's been produced from that system. So the sort of difficulty is that these big food companies, they're very powerful, and so it's very difficult to fight against that. But that's why markets and supporting independent small producers is so important, because through the power of consumer power, really, we can start to change things. But that certainly, you know, is a big battle. I think we're starting to see that being challenged.
For me, and my days of living in London and coming back will always be Borough Market. Buy my food, some food for the week, but also eat whilst I was there. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of respect and love around Borough Market.
But Borough Market, since the Roman times, it's been a market site. So it's steeped in history as a predominantly, it used to be a wholesale market, actually. But it got a little bit run down and forgotten, and wasn't doing that well until there are a few people which realised the potential of trying to reimagine and relaunch the market as a consumer market rather than a wholesale market. And I think Jamie Oliver was part of that movement as well, and there were sort of one-off festivals which were launched there, and people just got more interested in it, and there are a few key producers who took the punt. So Neil's Yard Dairy, who opened a cheese shop there, Monmouth Coffee, Brindisa, a Spanish food specialist, and so once they came in, and a butcher as well, once they came in, it encouraged others to come in as well. So you had small producers, farmers coming from the UK to trade at the market, and like I said, Jamie Oliver featured it in his Naked Chef programs, which are obviously hugely popular, and that helped popularize the market, and it just flourished and grew, and now it's incredibly successful, an important feature in the food landscape of London.
And I think what I've loved over the last few days is meeting some of the vendors of the food trucks that, you know, you're going to be bringing out to the UAE, and they're young guys, but they are all over this city. You know, they're in and out of these markets They know where to get the best, you know, they're really about, like you are, you know, the producer, but finding them, finding those good producers, you know, for the cheese, for the meat, whatever it may be, whether it's outside of London or within London, which I find fascinating, is in this urban landscape, there's amazing food production going on.
Absolutely. No, it's a really exciting time. And from talking about the street food traders and their drive towards quality, I think that is also another thing which sets it apart in a way, in that there is a huge amount of passion and when they're only focusing on one dish, they can really get to the grips of it and develop it to its full potential in a way. And then so they're very lucky in many respects, because the UK has great produce, and at the moment we are going through a bit of a renaissance with lots of wonderful artisans as well coming to the fore. So they've got a lot of choice, but they're choosing to use that quality ingredient focus on one dish or one or two dishes and just do them really, really, really well. An example of the sort of using different cultures, influenced by different cultures, Krabby Shack, who we're taking out, he's from Kent, where there are lots of crabs, and there's the Crab Shacks. And so he buys crabs from, soft shell crabs from Kent, and he deep fries them in a light tempura, and he serves them with like a wasabi mustard and uses some Asian influences, and then in a brioche bun. That's one of the offers that he has. And so again, it's just using Asian flavour with a very British dish and treating it in an Asian way as well. And so it's that kind of playful creativity which creates these amazing products and dishes.
Thanks to Fabio, and watch this space for more news and stories of what to come in February with Eat the World DXB, as I head to Singapore this weekend to learn about the hawker centres, Hainanese chicken rice, black pepper crab, the skewers, and all that wonderful traditional Singaporean street food. That's it from me. Have yourselves a great weekend.